Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/RedCircle, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/RedCircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/RedCircle.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for Camp Notes for August 5th. The one we've been waiting for, the joint practice against the Indianapolis Colts. It's the 12th day of camp. Temperature is approximately 80 degrees, comfortable, overcast, and of course, full pads for this joint practice. Absentees, a few of them, all the normal ones, Emory Jones, Ardarius Washington, Isaiah Likely, who've been out for longer periods. Kyle Hamilton was not at practice day. Some sort of a camp thing, as John Harbaugh put it, oftentimes means a hamstring injury of some degree. So hopefully he'll be back, not probably for the game, but for the practice after the game. So he's got a few days to recover here. Marcus Major still out with a concussion, was not back. And Robert Longerbeam, who now has missed several days in a row. It's a very tough time for a cornerback like Robert to miss time with two of the biggest 3 days of his life occurring over the course of about 60 hours here between the practice with the Colts and, of course, the game on Thursday against the Colts. So very unfortunate that he's missing time right now. So lots of things going on. They got two fields going on. And the first thing I'll say is, as an individual reporter, I cannot possibly see everything that's going on two fields. So I stuck with the defense. I did watch the defense primarily. I watched the special teams drills when they were going, and I watched the 2-minute drill. And I even doing that with the going from to special teams to 11-on-11s back to special teams, et cetera. I really got in my steps today. It was a lot of moving between field one and field two. You get tired and sweaty when you get home, and jumping in the shower, I can tell you right after I finish this. So anyway, one thing I looked at was the wide receiver and defensive back one-on-ones to start with. A few plays of note. I mean, obviously a lot of one-on-one reps don't mean really that much, but Igbinosin had coverage of tight end Sean McKean for a pass defense and a near interception. Malachi Starks had a pass defense in coverage of tight end Max Mang. And Jay Higgins was beaten deep on a ball by Jonathan Taylor. So Jonathan Taylor had, I would say, a pretty damn big practice in most respects. Although in the next drill was not his highlight. So the one-on-one drills between inside linebackers and running backs, you've heard me talk about these before. These are some of the most highly contested battles when they're on the same team of the entire camp. And to describe it briefly, the linebacker, and usually it's an inside linebacker typically, has to rush and beat a running back one-on-one in the drill, and then knock down or hit a practice dummy that's sitting behind him to simulate the quarterback. And if he can do that during a relatively brief period of time, probably about 3 seconds, then he wins the drill. And otherwise the running back, holds up and gets the job done. So the guy who dominated this drill by far was Roquan Smith. He blew up Tyler Goodson once, Jonathan Taylor on a second drill. Both times just ran right over them, basically. He's much too big for them, he looked great. Jake Hummel also beat Taylor to the outside on a play. William Kwenku had a sack later in the practice. He ended up getting pancaked by DJ Giddens in this drill, so not his best result there. Chandler Martin beat Ulysses Bentley outside. Teddy Buchanan was held off by Goodson. Goodson's a smaller back, so that's not a great thing for Buchanan to get held off on that. I think he tried a bull rush on that play, and it actually was one of the reps that was quite close to getting there in time. Trenton Simpson absolutely jacked up Goodson, so that was a nice play for Trenton to look that way. And Kwenku came back again a second time, and then he beat Khalil Herbert to the outside to get his touch in time. So it's always a great drill, and I talked about this before, but when the Ravens do the drill, they finish with a handshake line. So you can tell that means it's a very hotly contested drill, and that was the case here as well. I mean, obviously, you know, both groups were cheering on their guys in terms of the drill, and it was definitely played at a high intensity. Talk about the special teams drills that happened, and they were actually separated, but I'm just going to talk about them together. They started, the first one was the kickoff drill they did. Each team had 6 full return reps, and so the Ravens had 3 sets of 2 return men deep on these plays. And the first one was Mitchell and Ali, then they had Wester and De'Ernest Johnson, and then they had Wade and Cunningham. We didn't see Wallace, by the way, doing any kick returns. That's a little surprising, but he was certainly out there on kick coverage. And he was at practice today, so it wasn't a matter of they couldn't have used him. They just didn't use him. So it's interesting that he doesn't seem to be in the, a guy that they want to put out there on kickoff return duty at all. They have said numerous times that running, this is a particularly good choice for a running back. A particularly good returning is like a zone blocking play, and so the running backs have a good ability to read the field well and then cut back at an appropriate time. And so it's particularly well suited to them. And I think it's clearly Mitchell and Ali have been the Ravens' top return men. Justice Hill could also be a guy who would do it, but I think he would only do it in kind of an emergency because his role as a number two back is more significant. It could be Mitchell gets there too, by the way, but he's very good at this particular responsibility. So Mitchell and Wade each did a good job of picking the ball up on the bounce. I think this year we're going to see a lot more skipping of the football between the goal line and the 20 because the penalty for now having a touchback, a ball that goes in the end zone, is very severe. It's at the 30-yard line. But if you can skip it into the end zone and get it by the return man, then that ends up coming out only to the 20-yard line. Sorry, 35-yard line. If it goes in the end zone, it's the 20-yard line. If it skips into the end zone. So I think you're going to see some attempts to do that, perhaps create some fumbles and whatnot. The Ravens didn't get any big returns in the first 5, although they fielded the ball fairly well. What they did do is Cunningham had a nice return on the 6th one where he kind of changed course across the field and made some additional yardage. That was nice. Now, what wasn't nice was the Colts, who got the second chance to have kickoff returns. Their very first one went right up the right sideline for a touchdown by Anthony Gould. So there was a breakdown of sorts there. John Harbaugh said at the podium later that he wasn't too concerned about the overall result of the play. He's worried about breaking down the pieces and trying to coach up the players who didn't do the job on that play. And so he mentioned the guy on the outside on that play was going to get coached out. He didn't seem to know who that was right at that time. One thing did happen good for the Ravens in terms of the Colts return, kickoff returns, was that Mike Green had a very hard tackle. I actually thought it was going to result in a fight. I mean, it was really a big knockdown. There was noise, but I think it was mostly the Ravens being thrilled that they'd gotten a big tackle on the play and not a response in the way of a fight. Now, the punt return drills, a different matter in terms of the physicality of it. And John Harbaugh had some interesting things to say about this, but they focused on 2x1 gunner drills. Now, 2x1 gunner drills, basically what I mean by that is there's 2 coverage guys outside on the wide receiver on the punt drill. That wide receiver, he has a different release, a set of release rules than the guys inside who have to wait for the ball to actually be kicked. the guys on the outside can go immediately. And so they can, I can facilitate a pass play if you want to fake that. But the outside guys, when they're covered 2-on-1, it's the most difficult situation they're ever in. Oftentimes you have a 1 on one side and a 2 on the other, or even two ones on each side if you're really trying to block the punt. But typically you'll have a 2 and a 1, you know, on the side. But in this case, it was 2 by 1 on both sides. So the gunners on each side were being challenged to get up the field. Now, what happens when that occurs is that those if the coverage guys are doing their job, then those gunners get bounced around like a pinball between the two. They get knocked around, and it's a cause for some temperature increase with each of those hits. And that's why I think Harbaugh says it's always the gunners. Always starts with a gunner and somebody getting beaten up like that. You could listen to his exact wording of that. I'm not doing it justice here, but I'm trying to do my best to paraphrase. So I believe it was Malachi Starks and Tyler Goodson. Goodson's been in several drills already where he's been involved in some physicality. But Malachi Starks and Tyler Goodson had some sort of escalated interaction, probably a slight push one way and a bit stronger push the other way. And then all of a sudden we have a fight on our hands, and we saw Nate Wiggins run in from the sideline and throw a number of punches. Now, Starks and Goodson hadn't gotten to that level in terms of how the fight was going. I have secondhand who the players involved were that originated, but there's no doubt about who was in there and who was actually, you know, treating this like a Rocky movie. And that was Wiggins. So took about 1 minute to get the thing peeled apart. Not bad for as fights go. With the fight against the Commanders of several years ago, it took a lot longer than that to break up. But Wiggins was cheered as he exited the field. He's actually ejected from practice, and he had to go into the castle. And I don't know if he had to do this, or he's told to do this, or he wanted to do this, but he watched practice from behind the glass where everybody from the outside could see him. Now, I'm going to bring up a point that I think Catholic schools probably had, maybe all kinds of private elementary schools had, but I went for first through sixth grade to Friend School here in Baltimore, and there was a bench that you'd have to go out and sit on if you were bad during class, and you were sent out to the bench. And part of the punishment was you had to go outside and sit there. And the other part of the punishment was everybody else would walk by and give you a funny look. And this is kind of the situation with Wiggins is here. He's behind the glass, of course, as as other people are watching practice. And it's a high traffic area. It's right on the corner of the castle where the interviews were held afterwards, but there's a lot of traffic going back and forth. I mentioned we're having to go back and forth between Field 1 and Field 2, and you'd walk by it every time. And Wiggins was in there with Isaiah Likely kind of watching practice, probably oblivious to what was going on outside, but you know, we could see in and we could see that he's there still in uniform and not at practice. So kind of a little weird thing and a little extra punishment for being there. Tez Walker got into a fracas a little later with a Colts wide receiver, Aju. That was later in the punt drills, but that was broken up in seconds. It didn't become any kind of a thing, just a little bit of a quick interaction between those two. I want to talk about field goal drills, and not all these are in order, but I'm just trying to take care of the special teams first here. The field goal drills, Tyler Loop made all 6 of his kicks today, and it was an escalating distance day. So he made it from 28, 33, 38, 41, 44, and then 55 yards. He did not have to kick in a bonsai field goal drill or a 2-minute drill. The Colts kicker did have to kick there. Spencer Schrader of the Colts missed some kicks in the initial field goal drills, and then he also missed a game-winning kick in the 2-minute drill, which was probably about 45 to 50 yards would be my guess on the distance. So I think if I were a Colts coach watching what's happened, I'd be very jealous of the Ravens' good kicking situation, despite the fact that Justin Tucker is no longer with the team. It looks like the legacy is in good hands with Tyler Loop, who is now, I believe, 58 of 62 in camp so far. And that's, of course, included one from 68, one from 60, another from 56, another today from 55. So very impressive on some of the longer distances. Not too much in the mid-range distances between 44 and 55, but had a lot of shorter kicks as well. So Loop's having a great camp. A lot of people think he's been the best player in Ravens camp so far. I happen to think that's Keaton Mitchell. But Loop has been terrific, and looking forward to him as a Ravens kicker. Ball is coming out very straight off his foot. Nice end-over-end rotation. Almost everybody who's asked a question about him mentions that in one form or another. They'll say he kicks a very straight ball, or they might talk about, you know, foot placement in the GoPro cam when they're asked about that and how well he's got that down. But thank Randy Brown, the kicker whisperer that the Ravens have. I think, you know, he picked Tyler Loop, was his guy. And, you know, the Ravens ended the competition early. They didn't even try and do something where they were trying to, you know, pad Hoyland's stats in some ways that might have helped them, you know, get a small trade return for him. Instead, they just said, okay, job's yours, Loop, and Hoyland is back on the market. Would not surprise me, by the way, if Hoyland was kicking somewhere this year, and it wouldn't surprise me that much if it were at Indianapolis, frankly, given what we saw today. So anyway, the field goal drills went well. The two-minute drills I want to talk about, I was back on field one for those because the defense shut down and they just did alternating two-minute drills to end practice. So the Ravens got their chances, or the Ravens got a chance, and then the Colts got a chance, the Ravens got a chance, the Colts got a chance. Both teams failed in all their chances, in both chances. The Ravens had both their drives ended by interceptions, Lamar and Rush. And both of those interceptions happening made by Hunter Wohler, who's a rookie safety from Wisconsin, kind of a bigger safety. And he made two big plays today that are unfortunate and obviously kind of frustrating. The Colts drives were both were ended, the first on a sack. I believe I got the order correct here. And the second on a missed field goal that I mentioned earlier that Spencer Schrader didn't connect on. Got a number of highlights to report on from 11 on 11 and 7 on 7. The speed at which I had to write things down today is going to mean I can't read all my handwriting, so bear with me here if I'm a little slow in doing some of these. I'm going to take a quick drink of water before I get started, because this is the kind of thing that will tire you out in terms of the talking. Okay. So Sinusi Kane, who did some things all over the field today, stopped a run right for no gain. And that was nice. It was number 40 for the Colts. I'm not looking at their roster. You don't care anyway. Then we had John Jenkins, who's not made a lot of plays in camps, had a great bull rush versus number 63. And that ended up being a pressure on that play. We saw a quick tackle from number 31, and that is, let's see, Bilal Koenig, of course, on a quick out to the right sideline. What else did I have to report on? We had a high tackle run through by number 26 for a long run up the middle. That was one of the plays where the Ravens were kind of getting gashed. In that case, it wasn't blown dead. It maybe could have been, and I didn't see, honestly, who made the tackle for the Ravens. And then that segment ended when the combination of Buchanan and Malik Ham bottled up a run right for about 3 to 5 yards on third down. That got their starter on the field, as it was. So that's number 5. I should know him by name, and I've kind of forgotten what his name is. Big draft pick, number 3 overall, Anthony Richardson. He had a play action roll right for about 15 yards. It was about 5 plus 10 to start the drive with Michael Pittman on the other end of that. Seemed like people should have been closer in coverage, but they weren't. Then I had a really nice stuff from Travis Jones for no gain. And that looked like it was Jonathan Taylor might have been on the field for that play. If not, then it was DJ Giddens, but I couldn't read his second number in the uniform. Definitely first on the two on the first one. Then we had Sinusi Kane get a PD in the backfield. He actually rushed in what kind of is similar to Kyle Hamilton's tipped interception against Deshaun Watson a couple of years ago, or actually 2 years ago, 1 year ago, whichever it was. This one, Sinusi Kane in the backfield, leapt up high to tip a wide receiver screen left, ball dropped, and that was it for Richardson's sequence there. The two teams took a break. The ones went back in. Then the Colts started to have a bunch of penalties, and I started to feel a little bit better about what was going on with a lot of the cadence issues that the Ravens have had. But a false start, the first one by number 10, who is Adonai Mitchell. He's the receiver from Texas, I believe. He's now his second year. I thought he's still a rookie here, but no, that sounds right. What do we have then next? We had a 20-yard throw from Richardson to Mitchell again, and this time he beat Jair Alexander on the boundary left. So a nice play there by Mitchell. Then Jonathan Taylor had about a 5-yard run. It looked like there was a missed tackle on the play from Kyle Van Noy. Another false start. Then a long throw in the middle of the field by Richardson. It's kind of wild and wobbly. Kane was near it, but he couldn't quite scoop it for an interception. And there was no Colt near it, by the way. It just looked like almost like he was trying to throw the ball away to open space, but he didn't get it done. And Kane ended up being fairly close to the ball, but unable to scoop it. Another illegal motion penalty on Indianapolis. We had a lot of that. Then a drop by number 6, who he was the guy who returned the touchdown, Anthony Gould, for that. A variety of other plays. There were some good run plays. This was the Ravens are really getting gashed in terms of run defense. Some good blocking here. A few short passes, a 10-yard pass to Taylor. I'm sorry, 10-yard run by Taylor, where, again, holes appear to be open at the line of scrimmage. I told you already about the kickoff return drill. And let's go back to some 7-on-7 then. And I'm back on the defensive side of the field at this point. And Anthony Richardson threw a ball complete to Laquon Treadwell, our old friend, 30 yards up the right sideline. Kone was there. Actually, this was for Treadwell. Kone was there.
You ever have one of those days where everything's off? Well, Mood can help with that. And let me tell you about Mood. It's the online cannabis brand that is changing the way we handle everything from stress to sleepless nights, with functional gummies that are 100% federally legal cannabis. Mood launched to make cannabis affordable, accessible, and transparent, while at the same time supporting American farmers growing premium hemp on small pesticide-free farms. Their gummies are next level. Seriously, I've tried a few and each one feels totally different. The Sleepy Time gummies, out like a light, immediately asleep. The Epic Euphoria, it's perfect when you just need a reset to feel good again. What makes them unique? Mood combines THC with herbs and adaptogens, so you get real targeted effects. You're not going to find this in your typical dispensary. And here's the best part. Mood ships discreetly to most states, offers a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, and right now you get 20% off your first order with the promo code RAVEN. Just head to mood.com. Find your perfect gummy and use the code RAVENS at checkout to save 20%.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
And so was Igbinosin. I could not tell who actually knocked down the pass, but it was one of those two. And either one, good thing. Again, those guys making the best of a big day in their lives. And then it looked like the backup quarterback for the Colts, who's Daniel Jones, was really focused on throwing the ball to number one, Josh Downs, who had a big practice today. But threw him a 15-yard pass in front of Humphrey, threw him a 5-yard pass by the left sideline. Looked like a quick tackle was made there. This was before Wiggins had left practice, and he made that tackle. And then a throw about 15 yards over the middle to Downs between Humphrey and Kane honestly, was a pretty good set of plays there by Josh Downs. We're back to a red zone drill after that, and we still have Daniel Jones in there. Nice play by Travis Jones again to tackle number 31. Let me go back to who that is. DJ Giddens, maybe? No, Tyler Goodson, for about a 3-yard gain. Then a pass to Pittman, who was held up by Humphrey for about a 3-yard gain. Remember, they're in the red zone, so they're fighting for every yard here. So I'm going a little more exact on the yardage there. Then a run right where Simpson beat the right tackle to make a tackle and end that drive on downs. So a nice job there. And what else do I have to say about this? Did have a really nice pressure from number 91. That's CJ Ravenel. Got in the backfield. The ball was still thrown out there for 15 yards, but under normal circumstances where they could hit the quarterback, the ball might not have gotten off at all, or he would at least have had to move to throw it and maybe even less accurate. We saw Humphrey in the backfield mirroring Daniel Jones well, which eventually forced an out-of-bounds throw to the right sideline. Then we saw 99 away tackle the running back for no gain. So some nice plays made by the defense. Seems to get their head together in terms of what's going on with the run defense, at least after that. I talked about the punt return drills. Getting back to 7-on-7, Sanusi Kane had another PD. This came against 84, who's a tight end. That is Tyler Warren. He's the rookie out of Penn State. It's very, very highly thought of. I thought, by the way, he caught a number of balls today that looked pretty good doing it, but one of the top tight ends of this draft. And Richardson had another throw to Pittman for 10+10. Looked like a touchdown, and a combination of Roquan Smith and JAD were beaten in coverage on that one. Not ideal, but it is what it is. Then another pass defense, this one by Kone again, as Jones threw for number 10. Go to that one more time. Jones threw for Mitchell, and it was knocked down by Kone by the right sideline. We had a defensive holding flag thrown on Marquise Robinson that set the team up with a chance to score a touchdown again. Then we had a pass defense by Reuben Lowry. This was from Jones, and it was thrown for, I'll get this guy right, number 85, Drew Ogletree, the tight end. He's a massive tight end out of Youngstown State who's been around for about 4 years, but he's about 260 pounds. All right. And then another touchdown from Richardson to Warren. This was about 10 yards in the right corner of the end zone. On this play, Sanusi Kane, who I thought had a pretty good day overall, fell down in coverage. It looked like he was right in the lane to make a play on the ball if he hadn't have fallen down. So that was unfortunate, to say the least. And then another ball was thrown to the back of the end zone, about 15 yards between the hashes, and it looked like TJ Tampa knocked that ball down for an incomplete. All right, got more 11 on 11 here. Pick out some Ravens highlights. Kwenku had a nice tackle on a run left. Brent Urban beat the right tackle, but honestly, I focused on him late, and he might have beaten the right guard outside for a sack on Richardson. So that actually the play was blown dead. Then we saw John Jenkins make his second good play of camp, bottling up number 21, the running back number 21 for no gain. That's DJ Giddens again. I should know these numbers by heart now, but I don't. Maybe on Thursday I will. Then we had a nice run middle by Taylor again. And, you know, this is just another, you know, in a fairly long line of gash run plays that occurred to the Ravens over the time. Then they had another play, went for a decent yardage, and there was a missed tackle by both Kane and Van Noy in the backfield. By Kane in the backfield, by Van Noy more like at the line of scrimmage on a run right. And unfortunate to see that in cap. Now, the running backs do keep going, but no official had blown that play dead. So that was one where I think they feel like they didn't have a good grip on him. Tyler Warren again run for about 15 yards after the catch on a little swing pass to the left. And then we're into the 2 minute drill at this point. Lamar's was fairly uneventful. He did try and hit Zay Flowers on a couple of plays. The first one was thrown high 10 yards by the right sideline, and then he was also incomplete about 20 yards by the left sideline. Finally, threw an interception, as I mentioned earlier, to end his segment. Then we got a chance for Daniel Jones to come on the field. He threw a short pass then had a play to Josh Downs, which went for about 20 yards. Another play to Downs where he beat Humphrey for about 15 yards. And then finally we had Simpson bottle up Taylor for no gain on a run middle, which set up the field goal attempt. Still fairly long distance here, and Schrader missed it wide left, so they failed in their attempt too with their number one. With one of their two opportunities. Then the twos came on the field for each side. The twos came on the field for the Ravens, I should say. Cooper Rush was stripped of one ball, recovered the fumble in the backfield, which was fortunate. And then he threw an interception, which was a pass that was tipped up in the air. I did not see who initially tipped the ball. It was an Indianapolis player, and the ball was collected by Hunter Wohler for an interception. So, again, unfortunate that happened, but it is what it is. And that ended the Ravens' second drive. The Indianapolis then got another chance. A few short plays were involved. Then we had a sack. It looked like a kind of a jailbreak sack, but Mike Green was really pumped up after the play, so he may have felt like his pressure was contributory to the sack, or that he even should have been credited with it. And then we had him dip past for the initial pressure, at least, on Richardson, where he was forced to throw the ball 20 yards out of bounds on the left sideline. That ended the second set of opportunities for Indianapolis here. So I thought there was a sack on that play. So it may have been that while he threw that ball 20 yards out of bounds, that Kwenku, that was where he finished that sack, or he was credited with that sack. But in any case, really nice pressure by Green to end practice. A few notes from the podium time. John Harbaugh
He mentioned that the 2-minute interceptions were obviously frustrating and not what they were looking for. In terms of special teams plays, I think I mentioned this earlier. He said he's going to look at who are the individuals responsible for it and coach them up and not act like every part of this is the team did everything wrong. It's oftentimes somebody blew their assignment in terms of their lane or whatnot and wasn't in the right place at the right time. Talked about the fights. Said they always start with the Gunners. Talked about Kyle Hamilton's injury. I mentioned that earlier being a camp thing, and that often means a hamstring. And he's got a few days to recover here because since he won't play in the opener anyway. Charlie Kolar, apparently on the offensive field, and I wasn't watching it, had a big day, including a number of catches. He mentioned how Kolar has developed as a blocker at the NFL level after throwing roughly zero blocks in his career at Iowa State, which is not too far from true. If you watched a tape of Charlie Kolar from that time, he's a more of a slippery positional, a slippery is probably the wrong word, a positional sit down tight end. And they ran that offense like he was Wilt Chamberlain in the post. I mean, every ball came to him pretty much in his time at Iowa State. It's got to be a very big change for him coming to the NFL and just being asked to do a completely different thing where a couple of tight ends are way ahead of him in terms of the pecking order for receptions. But he's been part of a very productive group, and he'll probably have a bigger role now to start the season with likely out. Harbaugh praised Mike Green for the late pressures. He also praised William Kwenku for the drive-ending sack. He said Lamar and Derrick Henry will not play versus the Colts. There's a whole lot more players that won't play versus the Colts than that. But he said, that's the way it's going to be for this game. Well, we know they're not playing in the third game. I can't imagine, you know, Lamar or Derrick Henry playing in the second game, but there probably will be a number of other players who won't play either. So I think there'll be some interesting order of entry that will come from this game against the Colts, but you definitely get a good idea right away of who the backup linemen are, who the first guy up is at certain positions. And obviously we're going to see a lot of the end, the safety and the cornerback group with the top guys sitting out. So that should be a lot of fun. He talked about the fundamentals on punt returns. He says the catch is much more important than the return. He gave specifics about keeping your shoulder square to the ball and catching it high up in your chest. I look at that. When I saw Michael Campanaro return punts, he would catch the ball at chest level, but he would also be ready to explode into a return out of that. It almost like he'd be in starter's blocks again. As I mentioned, for like, you know, a defensive end or something in terms of rushing the passer, you can also do that as a punt returner. But I'm sure John is correct. The catch is more important than the return. He's asked about the left guard situation. He said Voorhees has been very physical. Cleveland started camp slow, but has picked it up. So he seemed to be generally positive about where they are right now. And he hasn't really been questioned about Falele being the starting right guard. For those of you who think, oh boy, I don't like Daniel Falele at right guard, I mean, the Ravens clearly feel differently about it. I wasn't optimistic about Falele's play and honestly didn't grade it very well for 14 of 19 games. But the last five, 14 of 19, I think that's right. Yeah, 17 plus two. The last five, he played very well. And he played very well in particular when you weight penalties properly and when you weight pass blocking properly. If you don't do those things, then you'll see, oh, there's still a bunch of run blocking plays he's not making. And that's always going to be true of Daniel Falwell. That's who he is as a lumbering 360-pound offensive lineman, but he's still very valuable in pass protection and could do some good things for you in terms of winning without having to be without having to draw penalties. Lamar Jackson was the next at the podium. He said this preseason game, and he was kind of coached into this answer, I think, this practice felt more like a preseason game because he doesn't get to play in those. So regardless of whether, Harbaugh has made the decision on game two or not, it sounds like Lamar has made the decision on game two that he's probably not playing. And he's asked about building chemistry with Tez Walker. He says they don't really get a lot of reps together. And if you think about back to Lamar's 2018 first year, one of the things that really built a relationship that has lasted now for eight seasons since now, is his relationship with Mark Andrews. It was really built on the fact that Andrews is the number two tight end in practice, and the number one tight end was Hayden Hurst. And that obviously didn't end up being the way it ended up. And Lamar Jackson had the connection with Andrews is held up to this day. He expressed how happy he was to have Jair back. He said, "That's my brother," and how he's kind of used to him getting picked off from him by him and from college. The next thing is going to come up about Jair. I want to talk about was on the Namdi Madubuike interview, but let's talk Derrick Henry real quickly. Derrick Henry does not answer questions in a lot of particularly quotable detail. So I'll say that he talks in kind of a low voice. He seems to be entirely focused on football and the moment. So if you ask him about last season, he really doesn't want to talk about it, which for a guy who had as good a season as he did is kind of remarkable. But he did talk a little bit about Keaton Mitchell. He said he's put in a lot of work to get back, and he obviously wants it very badly. I think that's apparent to everyone who's been at camp, is Keaton Mitchell really looks like the best athlete on the field that the Ravens have. I mean, Zay Flowers, you could point to, but Keaton Mitchell just looks fast, able to cut on a dime, transitions from catch to run exceptionally well. I just see him as a huge part of the offense this year. And not just somebody who's in there for a couple of touches per game, but somebody they use much more frequently. Namdi Madubuike was the last guy at the podium. He talked about some of the patience that Jonathan Taylor had shown in the his ability to break through in some of the early 11-on-11. And he's absolutely right. And the Ravens are having a lot of trouble containing Taylor and other running backs for that matter. He said Taylor's very patient. He kind of waits for you to make a mistake, and you really need to be good in terms of gap integrity to make sure you bottle him up. So he had more to say about it than that, but I thought very self-effacing from a player like Madubuike to realize, what's going on there and how it needs to be better. And, it's great when the players can diagnose things well right on field and know what went wrong themselves rather than just kind of backfill for what they've done and act like everything's fine or, hey, we're going to look at the film and figure it out. He already knows. He already knows what went wrong, and that's, I think, a good thing. Is at that moment of a question came from the crowd about an autograph that Namdi had apparently received at the stadium practice from Jair Alexander. And I look over and, of course, it's Jair Alexander asking the question. And somehow he's snuck in between two cameras who probably have, not a great view of the action at that point. But Beeks was at the podium. He just could not stop laughing there for about a minute. He had to kind of go down to his knees and squat down to his knees anyway and laugh at this before he could get up. And then he came up with some answer about how he'd kept the autograph in his locker and saved it. He took a while for him to recompose himself, but then he answered questions. He got that Brent Urban brought a lot of energy to the defensive line room, and he had praise for Mike Green and Aeneas Peebles. A little different in each case. Talked about Green being very twitchy and fast and high energy player. Talked about Aeneas Peebles, and the person who asked the question was trying to find the similarities between Namdi and Aeneas Peebles, and Namdi's like, we're different players. And I thought that was a little interesting. He is a player that I would have thought Peebles' kind of quickness and already kind of significant bag of tricks that he has in terms of the pass rush would be something that Namdi would gravitate to and try and maybe coach up. It's a good thing. He says Peebles asks a lot of questions in the meeting rooms, and he's a good teammate. So anyway, that's it for practice notes today. Thanks for listening again. If you're out there at practice, congratulations today. Those tickets are very hard to get. I was on there right at the time where the PSL holders could claim some, and I wasn't able to get them. So I thought I would give away maybe a couple on the show if I had a pass for one car or something, that somebody would want it and get it in the hands of a listener. But that didn't happen. If you want to ask questions about what's going on at camp, please do so. Use hashtag film study mailbag. I'll find them and I'll be able to go there. You can also, if you want me to look for something specific, make sure if you're watching on YouTube, you like and subscribe, or you like and subscribe on your podcast app. There's still a fair number of you that have not subscribed who are listening now.
You probably want to get that done. Even you don't have to listen to it every time. I'm not going to beg you to do that, but it's great content, and the nature of the content changes pretty dramatically once the season begins with much more technical content, because at that point I have the ability to rewatch the tape and look at it multiple times as necessary to do the things I do, score offensive line play, and look at the defense in a lot of very specific ways, including the pass rush and who's on the field for every play and whatnot. We'll have our first article of the season. We'll be up on Friday after the Colts game, probably later afternoon. These take a long time to write, but it'll cover every single Raven defender who has a fringe role on the roster right now. So I'm trying to get you whatever information you are. Oftentimes, if you know the family of a player who may be at the back end of the roster, this is the best place to get information on these, with all due humility. And I end up getting a lot of communications from family members, from players, and I've always appreciated those over the years. And I won't change ratings for it, but I do appreciate the interactions. Anyway, thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/RedCircle, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/RedCircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/RedCircle.